Hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Now that the NFL draft is less than 1 week away, it feels like things are really starting to ramp up. For more information, we go to our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Guten Morgen, meine Freunde. Wie geht es dir heute?
Is that German? What do we got going on there?
That is German.
And what has inspired you to tap into your German roots this morning, Jason?
I talked to Oma the other day. She is the mother of my best friend, and she's kind of the unofficial grandmother of the girls, and she always wants me to speak more German, and she listens to all of our different shows, even though she's not super interested in the Packers, just to support me. So I wanted to make sure if she happens to be up and at 'em this morning for this, I wanted her to hear a little German this morning
Shout
from me.
Oma.
That's about all I've got.
That is going to make her Shout day. I hope she is listening. And even if she's not, maybe we clip it off and we send it over to Oma this morning.
That would be sehr gut, ja. Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I learned anything when I was in Berlin last year for those 2 weeks, and I think the extent of it was willkommen, which is welcome.
Yeah, nice. Hey, way to contribute. I love it.
That's all I got. Jason, Jordan Love yesterday appearing on the Kay Adams Show, diving into when asked about the Jair situation. Take a listen to what he had to say.
I need to reach out to Ja, see what the deal is, but Ja, he's got his own world going on. I'm gonna let him handle his business and see what's going on. But that's my guy right there. He's definitely a player we need back. Just the play style he plays with and who he is on the field. I mean, that's a guy we need to have around. So we'll see what happens.
That's a guy we need to have around, I think, is the statement that stands out to many of our loyal listeners. What say you about how Jordan Love handled that situation? What is he trying to say? What's he trying to do?
Well, on top of that, there's also the Jair has his own world that he's dealing with or living in or whatever that part was, which is also accurate. Yeah, look, I'm a little bothered by all the Jair kind of social media narrative. And, I saw our buddy Rob Domofsky get a little irritated a couple of times that there's at least a segment of the fan base that thinks we, as the beat writer core, are trying to run Jair out of town. And I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, I've told you guys this before, like Jair and I were talking one day in the locker room and I was wearing one of the sweatshirts that I'd made for Sydney's basketball team. And he asked me about it and we got to talk. And the next thing I said, hey, I make a t-shirt for them every year. We always put an inspirational quote on the back. If you've got one for me, give it to me. And he did. And I made the t-shirt with his quote. And then he wanted a t-shirt and I brought it to him. Like he and I and Rob and him and Schneidman and like, we all have really good relationships with him. Like it's not adversarial at all, but because the reporting from multiple people, me early on and more details from Rob and Tom Silverstein later, have been essentially consistent, which is Goody doesn't want him back. And I feel like that should be very believable for people. Now, the reason I bring this all up is because it's great that Jordan Love said this, right? I mean, first of all, it's the opposite end of the player giving the general manager advice spectrum than Josh Jacobs, who said we need a number one wide receiver, right? It's keeping a guy that's already on the team as opposed to essentially saying the guys we have aren't quite good enough yet. We need someone from the outside. So I get all of that, but the bottom line is, and I'm not going to swear on the radio and put Joshy on the dump spot, But
Chewy did it yesterday. I mean, it's okay.
I know. I hear it's very popular. We got to get Charles Woodson back on to really test Jesse and Josh during our show. But Goody doesn't give a damn. That's the bottom line. And that one I can get past the censors. Because we saw it with Josh Jacobs, and I think we'll see it here too. It's great that Jordan says that Ja's his guy, and that's the kind of guy we need on this team. He's right. But it's not because of the kind of player that Jair is that Goody doesn't want him back and doesn't plan on having him back. It's because of the injuries and the other stuff and the other world that he lives in and all the other stuff. I don't see Goody wanting to see this movie again. And I think that's pretty clear. But maybe the quarterback moves the needle another decimal point or two. And suddenly now maybe Goody rethinks it when he's not getting any trade offers. But I just don't see that being the case.
I'm assuming that they are based on Matt LaFleur's reaction to a lot of the Jair questions throughout the course of the season and his body language when he got those questions. But are LaFleur and Gutekunst in lockstep when it comes to Jair?
That's a really good question. Because I know I've told you guys multiple times that much earlier in the offseason, God, this was a month and a half ago, when I was talking to somebody who works in the building who said the guy could still play. And I know I've told the story a bunch, but not everyone listens every day. I think it's important. And I said, when he plays. And the person said, yep, that's fair. So the reality of Jair is that no one in that building, I think even Brian Gutekunst, would say this guy's washed. So that's another layer to this, and this speaks to what kind of Jordan Love is talking about there. Like, they all know he's still got plenty left in the tank. And it's not like this is a player that you're talking about who's, you know, 33 and lost two steps. Now, I would say that, as we've talked about many times as well, the hit that he took from Najee Harris when he tried to tackle him low early in the 21 season, and he missed, what, 13 games that year because of it?
That was the end of the season.
Not only he came back for like 7 snaps in the playoff game, I think, and then hit him and Za'Darius Smith olayed a crucial tackle opportunity.
No interest in tackling on 3rd and 7.
Right, exactly. 3rd and 7 play, and Deebo Samuel gets the first down, kicked the game-winning field goal. Anyway, he's not the same tackler that he was. And I think the reality of his game had been that for a diminutive corner, he stuck his face in there. He was not afraid to tackle. And that's the one part of his game that isn't the same ever since then. But the rest of it, I mean, the guy can still cover when he's on the field. It's kind of like the clip that we play about Christian Watson in the open for me. They are a different defense when he's available. The problem is his availability. We all know that. So, look, I never say never. I never do the homer 0%, 100% deal. But I think it is a very small percentage that Goody was ever even entertaining the idea of bringing him back. And I think it's just as small of a percentage that the quarterback saying something to Kay Adams is going to make him rethink his position.
Well, and it's interesting, Jason, because yesterday I heard you guys talking to Mike Tannenbaum, and shout out Denny Tauscher, but you talked about talent outs and how if Jair can still play, and I know that the caveat there is even if it's, you know, only when he seems to want to or when he perceives himself to be 100%, et cetera, I'm very curious about that chart, right, with the x-axis and the y-axis, and if he's so talented and he's so capable, at what point the headache and the, you know, whatever it is, frustration, right? Because you guys were talking about Aaron Rodgers when you were talking about that with Mike Tannenbaum, talent outs. Has Jair, you think, really eclipsed that threshold of where you will put up with a guy's idiosyncrasies for the talent and the production that you get, even if it is in a limited capacity?
That is that's such a good question. Now, the only problem is I got distracted about halfway through because I was thinking about that guy with the FAFO.
Yeah,
exactly. X-Y axis,
yep.
Guy.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's what I was picturing, except I photoshopped Jen's head on his body while he's talking in my mind.
She's pointing at a spot on the graph. Yep. Uh-huh.
Exactly. I agree. There is a point on the graph. And look, I do think, you know, I have not talked to Jeff Hafley. I can tell you he's not the person that works in the building that I talk to. But I would believe that Jeff Hafley is interested in him too. They all know he's still a good player. And let's not forget, like we were just talking about that 21 season, 22, he comes back. He's a second team all pro again. He played, I think, 15 or 16 of the 17 games that mm-hmm. year. So he's come back previously. But, you know, I keep thinking back to a conversation that Domofsky and I had with him early last year, when he basically said, maybe that suspension was exactly what I needed. And I thought, okay, here's a guy that took the self-appointed captaincy suspension he got and authentically said, all right, I got to make some changes. I can still be me. I can still be a different cat, but I got to think a little bit differently. And then, you know, maybe we've had this wrong all along, and this is partially or mostly the fault of the organization for the way they kind of handled his situation. But it was like Bakhtiari 2.0, right? They did not hide any sort of their frustration about the uncertainty of his availability. And so I understand that for fans, it's frustrating, but we can only go on how the team has behaved when it comes to this player. And to me, it says they know he can play, but they don't know when he's going to play. Jen had a great line there about how when he perceives he is healthy enough to play, because I firmly believe that 10-snap thing in Chicago was like when some of those guys in their mind are like, we are not doing this again. We can't have a guy be active and then pull himself out after two series. We just can't do it. And I think that is still in their minds of, are we really going to bring this guy back? Are we going to bring him back at $17 million? And are we going to put ourselves in a position where if he tweaks something, he doesn't know if he can play or not, and we're going to be dealing with this again? You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you shouldn't fool people, as George Bush said. So I just, again, maybe it changes. But I don't think Jordan Love's opinion matters. I don't think Goody's changing his mind. I don't think they're going to get anything for him either, by the way. I think they're going to end up ultimately having to cut him, because if he's got that power of his contract of saying, look, I'm not taking a pay cut. I'm not restructuring. And that, I think, unless there's a team desperate enough and willing to say, hey, we'll roll the dice on $17 million and hope we get the guy that's been a two-time second-team All-Pro, unless that happens, I think they'll probably end up not getting anything for him.
Jason, what happens first? The Packers make a decision on Jair, or Aaron Rodgers makes a decision about his future?
Yeah, look, I don't usually watch his interviews anymore on there. I shout out to him for using the corded wired headphones. Good to see. Welcome to the old man crew.
You know, I'm right there with you, man. I'm right there with you. I'm wired all the way.
Oh, we're changing the game. And the game is now 1993. I don't know. I do know this. I know that the stuff about, you know, people that he cares about going through stuff is true. I know that he is irritating to a lot of people. I do think that when he gets on that program, I don't know if he does himself any favors in terms of public perception. I think we can all agree that oftentimes he doesn't. But I did think that, except for at the end where he always has to say stuff that he doesn't need to say, I did think that he came across, for me anyway, convincingly about how he doesn't really know what he wants to do. And I do think it was interesting that he circled back to his longstanding friendship with Kevin O'Connell. I do think it's interesting that he's told all these teams, look, I'm just not there, so go ahead and move on if you want to. But to me, the most interesting thing And the thing that I'm sure Josh really enjoyed, because he's a big Aaron Rodgers stan, was the stuff about the meeting with the Jets. And how it's been a long time since anybody's talked to him that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're moving a different direction. And, you know, I flew across the country on my own dime to meet with them. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you got to pay for airfare.
You have a lot of dimes.
yeah, exactly. You just got done saying you'll play for 10 million. You don't care
10,
about the money.
10 so, M's, by the way, which I was like, oh, come on.
So I hope that he plays. I do. I hope that he plays. I hope that he plays for the Steelers, and I hope that that game is in Ireland, so Ben Brust's reporting proves accurate. But I hope he plays. I don't care where. I would love for him to be on the Packers schedule, but I'll just close with this. For a guy who I'll never forget him saying to me, I'm never going to be that guy, and pointing to Favre. There are so many ways that they are so alike. It's just incredible.
I was going to ask, and I don't want to be short-sighted here, and I want to be respectful of whatever Aaron's got going on in his personal life, but are Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers the only two guys who really string out the will he, won't he, the way they have in their career? Like, I was trying to remember people who have quite done it this way, and the eerie similarity of it to me really sticks out.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, LeBron contemplates retirement every year, doesn't
he?
And
right.
But it's a lot quicker than this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I think they, you know, not only do they hold a number of passing records, they also hold a lot of contemplation of retirement records.
I'm sure we'll talk a little bit. I told the guys I'd rather talk about Apollo than Aaron this morning. Apollo looks like a lovely dog, by the way. Very cute.
From the
clip we saw of him early in the interview. Jason, we really appreciate you. We are all getting very excited about the NFL draft all of next week, but try to enjoy your weekend before the madness begins.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We certainly could get into that. I am interested in the Jordan Love dynamic. I got folks weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line, and I actually really liked this one. Goody didn't listen to a top three quarterback ever. I'm not sure he's going to listen to a quarterback who's not even in the top 10 right now, that from Will in the 262. Is that what Jordan was trying to do? Was he trying to sway management? Was he trying to maintain a locker room environment if Jair is still a member of the Green Bay Packers? Let's figure out what Jordan Love was trying to do when he talked to Kay Adams about Jair yesterday when we come back.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The brand new ESPN Wisconsin app. Download the app today for your chance at an all-inclusive private tailgating experience during day three of the draft up in Green Bay. And it's easy to register. Open up the ESPN Wisconsin app or download it. Check the contests tab toward the bottom and register for your chance to win. Download the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview, the way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney.
Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.